So just to kind of regroup, you know, it's been a minute since the part two of this interview series. And, you know, that was about 2 months ago now. So just to start us off, is there anything from when we last interviewed in early April that you want to address as far as what we've been talking about and anything that's been a highlight for you in these 2 months?
Yeah, so I'm on parole. Most people know I'm on parole now. And this is just an extension of, like, slavery. It's like Jim Crow to what slavery was. It's just another extension of what it is. And I actually had an essay that I'm going to put in a grievance, which is like an oxymoron process, because you're grieving, like, their cousin. So you're appealing to someone's family member to another one, which is like a real difficult process to go through. But I recently went to the parole office, and an incident happened, and they put me in handcuffs, and a whole bunch of a big ruckus went down for my phone. And I have a lot of questions, so I kept questioning them why they're doing it, what's the reason, and they can't violate my parole, my phone. So it led to them eventually releasing me from the handcuff. And then it was led to me, like, questioning them what they're doing. They're not actually going about the process according to their rules and not following the law, because they can't violate one just because of the questions that they have, or because the questions are, like, nerve-wracking towards them. And this is the reason I was placed in handcuffs, I guess. I don't know. But it was ridiculous how they treated the situation. I was called out my name and a whole bunch of other things. And then I have like a few, like, button pins on my jacket. Most of them pertaining to black empowerment and the Black Panther Party. So they was talking about that. They was like being ridiculous about how I think I'm a radical and different other names they was calling me. They called me stupid. And it was just like a moment when it dawned on me that they're no different. These parole officers, they're no different than a police officer. They're no different than a correctional officer. They're all under this one branch of this enslaved mentality where they have this thought process that black means bad, brown means bad, poor is bad. So they have to enforce their power as much as possible to tame this wild beast that they see us as. And what makes it worse is because two of them that was actually in the incident with me are black and brown. The lady she's most likely Mexican. She was from some type of, like, island, some type of, like, Central Island or Spanish Island. And it was crazy how they was all working with this, like, within the system to keep me down. And the lady, I have her name, I don't have it on me right now, but the lady had the audacity to say, me being on parole is a privilege. I laughed because it was just like, wow, she's so far gone that she really believes that me being on parole is a privilege to my life. And it was just ridiculous. It had me thinking about how far a lot of us have gone.
Well, wish that I could say that was surprising. And unfortunately, you know, knowing the circumstances that we're up against, as you do, there's really nothing very shocking about that, but it's certainly a violation, you know, regardless of whether or not they actually filed it. You know, the very fact that they would put handcuffs on you, you know, knowing what you've already been through behind all of that is an outrage, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But they don't care about that. all these things play into the capitalistic mindset of one, because without us on parole, they don't have a job. That's not, they don't actually look for benefits on helping you to get further in the society. So they look for little things to actually hold us back. And this is one that they tried, but I don't do anything outside of like the penal law. So I don't smoke and drink. I don't do these things that's gonna actually give them opportunity to violate me. And that would have been a perfect opportunity for them. And I don't know, it's funny. It's not, you're absolutely right, it's not shocking. It's funny to me.
Now, and definitely, it's not a problem if you don't feel like going into all of the particulars, especially if you're in a grievance process with that. But was this your parole officer who was approaching you this way, or were these other parole officers at the parole office?
Yeah, and that was the only thing that was different, because it wasn't my parole officer. He actually... I don't know, but he went inside. He went back inside the building, and I spoke to him about the situation. And obviously, he's gonna like try to speak like highly. He like, if he was there, it would have been a different situation. But I doubt it. I don't think he would have done anything to help me, because he's on their side. But it was a bunch of other. It was the head of the parole officer, the supervisor, and like other parole officers.
And their problem with you was that they felt like you had something on your phone that they didn't want you to have, or what was their concern?
Yeah, I wouldn't turn my phone off. So I said, because they were telling people they have to turn their phones up, it's the sign that they have to turn your phone off. So I was explaining it to them, there's no sign in here that says turn your phone off. And you can't just make rules up. This is why they have like branches of government, and it goes all the way down to the parole officer, to the correction. It goes all the way down. So you have to get actually written agreements and written signs by your boss that allows you to make these rules. I'm saying to them, there's no rule that you have to turn your phone off. The rule is that you can't use your phone while you in waiting to be parole officer. So I'm saying, I don't have to turn my phone off. I just can't be on it. I said, there's no reason for me to turn it off. So this eventually goes back and forth, and then led to the situation.
So basically, it sounds like they felt like you were undermining them, and that they had control over you because of your situation. So they basically just wanted to force you to comply, regardless of what the actual law behind it was.
Yeah, exactly. And when I explained this to them, that this is what they're doing, when most people get like confronted with the truth, you throw something back that's like really contrary to what it is, what the situation is, to try to like make the person that's speaking truth speak on another topic. So when I'm throwing it at them, like, no, it doesn't say this, and what you're doing is just trying to enforce something on me because you feel you have this power over me. And you have this power, this so-called power, that allows everyone else to turn their phones off. So when you have one that's standing for what's actually supposed to be, like, followed, I'm like, I'm crazy, or I'm just like some like rebel guy, some radical that's gonna try to uprise, that's gonna try to start an uprising, and all I'm doing is trying to follow proper protocol, which is I don't have to turn my phone off. And yeah, it's weird.
Now, I'd imagine not, because you know they have everybody with their phones off, and that's probably part of the point. But do you know if anybody got any footage of what they did to you? I'm sure there's cameras all over that office, but as far as, you know, any of the heads that were in there waiting, like, did you see if anyone got footage of what they did?
Yeah, Yeah, nah. I would think because it was in front of the building, so I would think there would be cameras that's pointing in front of the building. But I doubt if anyone had their phones out recording, because I know when I was online and I seen everyone that was in front of me that I could see turning their phones off. So I think I was probably the only one with my phone on. But there's cameras in that building.
Right, of course. And so basically, just like with anything else, they want to have control over the entire scenario so that, yeah, maybe they have footage, but it's on their cameras. So then how do you get that footage?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But there's a way you could follow it, I'm guessing, the Freedom of Information Law. Because I don't know if that's something that they can withhold if it's used as evidence in a case that I'm going to file. The same way as if someone is kept, like, does a crime in front of a grocery store, and now that becomes a crime scene, they have right to the tape inside the store to actually use it against the crime. So I don't see why I can't do the same thing if I file a grievance and now I want to use the camera to prove what it is that I'm filing. I don't see how I can't do that. I'll have to, like, look more into it. But I don't see why I can't file for that camera.
Well, no doubt. And so shouts to you for following up with that and at least using the mechanisms that are in place, allegedly, for us to get redress, you know, for these kinds of issues that, of course, happen all the time. So definitely, you know, pulling for you in this grievance case, and definitely reach out, you know, for any kind of support that might be needed. Perhaps somebody that peeps out this podcast, you know, if you're able to, if you have insight into these kinds of issues or any legal background that could be of support, definitely that's welcome. You know, reach out to us, and ideally, you know, can move forward with this and get some kind of, you know, justice behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because it's actually little situations like this that need to be blown up, because there's, like, laws placed into this messed up country that we live in. But the ones that govern the laws are the ones that's not following it. And they're implementing their own rules on us that we're supposed to follow some made up shit that's not in that. And then we have those that do follow it. So it becomes an unwritten law. So when one goes about not doing the unwritten law, that one is being crucified. And now the whole population looks at this one individual that says, why you're not doing this? This is normal. Everyone does this. But it's not. It's not supposed to be normal because it's not right. And that's how most of our leaders go about every situation from back in the 60s or 50s or even the 1800s. From day one, when one stands up for truth, it's actually going against someone's own personal empowerment over people and not what it actually says on. So this is definitely something that I feel is important to fight, because we follow rules that's not rules. We follow man-made rules instead of logic. I believe in logic.
Absolutely. What you're saying, you know, speaks to what Frederick Douglass was saying about, you know, just how far we're willing to allow them to strip us of our human rights, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but that just as far as we're willing to give those rights up, that's exactly how far, you know, these slavers will go in violating our human rights. And so you're absolutely right to say that it's not just one set of laws, but these unwritten laws are just as important, if not more important, to these slavers out here, because, you know, as far as they're concerned, under the 13th Amendment, you know, prison slavery, heads don't have rights, period, you know, as far as they're concerned, once they've been convicted.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how they're operating, and they feel as though they have the full authority of the state behind them, because, you know, at least on paper, and at least, you know, as far as all of them that are involved are concerned, they do, you know, that is what the state has always been in the business of enslavement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, even in prison, they have the, if you, like, infraction, and I have yet to see someone actually beat a full infraction ticket. I've been in a lot of situations where I was 100% right, and the ticket hearing officer, the lieutenant, was on my side. He agreed with everything I said, but still, he finds me guilty on something, because it's just what it is. I've had lieutenants say this to me at the ticket hearing. This is what it is. I cannot let you go scot-free on all charges. So it's this mindset that they have where they refuse to let us live out and go against what it is that they put into this enslavement system. Because they don't want you to win, and your win is going to inspire other people to go against the system as well. Then the system will actually be broken. Because the system works perfectly fine, but it was never meant for us. That's why it was always meant to enslave people. So if one actually wins over in the system, more people will actually be inspired to try to fight against the system, and it'll eventually be broken. So it is really ridiculous how in prison, you can catch a ticket, you can be 100% right, but they pile on these charges. Just as the court system does, you'll have a robbery, one charge, but they'll have robbery two, robbery three, deadly. They'll have a bunch of charges piled up on this one charge. So just in case you do beat robbery one, you're going to lose the robbery two, or you're going to lose robbery three, or you're going to lose the... It's just a bunch of piled up charges just so you... Your odds of winning is really short. And it's the same system inside the prison, that they have this direct order charge on you. Then you have a fighting charge, let's say. And then you have a disobeying the direct order. That charge always sticks. Whether you're right or wrong, they tell you, go outside. You say no, that's a direct order. Now you end up in solitary confinement. And it's just ridiculous how they pile on charges just so you cannot win. Even though you're right.
Yo, absolutely. And it basically gives them the appearance of legitimacy, because it's clear that they're doing something illegitimate and that they're functioning as an illegitimate force once they're shown to be just totally fabricating charges. That's a direct conflict to their legitimacy. Just like out here, you know, if they make an arrest for whatever reason, they just because they don't like what you're doing, regardless of if they have legal backing, you know, what do? They'll put down a disorderly conduct or one of these, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so exactly as you say, at every level of this slavocracy, regardless of, you know, their position, whether it's the CO or the PO or, you know, the various slave patrollers, you know, they're all in it for the same thing, more or less. You could probably count on your fingers and toes, you know, the total number of them that are actually out there, quote unquote, trying to, you know, enforce laws, even much less protect and serve, that are even actually enforcing laws. And so it's really just, It is really laughable, as you say, if it weren't so deadly serious, you know?
Yeah.